Welcome back, everybody, to the OPT Network. Now, let me tell you, we're switching gears this morning, and you know that we scour the country. I say this, I know, every time we have another incredible author. But we scour the country for those people that are changing people's lives through their work, through their life, and through their experience. And our guest this morning is doing just that. Her name is Christy Johnson. She is a former love junkie, a self-described love junkie. Christy Johnson knows the pain and chaos that accompanies toxic relationships. And after a disastrous first marriage filled with addiction and adultery and the tragic death of her youngest son, Christy has found the beauty on the other side of brokenness. Today, we are joined by Christy Johnson. Her book is called Love Junkies, 7 Steps for Breaking the Toxic Relationship Cycle. Christy, all the way from Oklahoma, good morning and welcome to the OPT Network.
Good morning, Carla. Thanks for having me today.
So, Christy, I want to start with the title because when I first looked at the title, I said Love Junkies. Okay, what, first of all, is a love junkie?
Well, I can tell you from my own perspective, I was a love junkie because I used men like a drug. I used relationships to draw identity and affection and affirmation out of men. And one was never enough because, you know, if Christ isn't where your identity is centered, a man cannot fill that. So I used men and relationships and just was drawn because of the hole in my soul, because I was so unhealthy and didn't really believe that I deserved what I wanted. I always settled for less. And so I ended up in toxic relationships that just never satisfied.
And so you used men like a drug.
I did, to feel that, you know, some people, when they deal with the issues of life, that they don't know how to fix it. And so they try everything in their own attempts to fix it. And some run to alcohol or drugs. Some use their credit cards and go shopping. I mean, retail therapy, that can really give you an instant fix for a while. But none of those things satisfy in the long term. And for me, because I craved affection and somebody to believe in me, I used relationships. And I think it's so easy to do in today's culture because everyone, you know, relationships are a good thing, but it's the excess. It's the excess of anything that causes something to become an addiction, like food, for example, is, you know, we have to have food to live, but when we use it in the excess, that's when it can become a problem, and that's what relationships were for me.
And so, Christy, I said to you before we went on air, after reading the book, and I have so many notes and so many highlights and so many asterisks, I want to know how you got the courage, because it takes courage to tell this story and to talk about your own infidelity. Talk about how that process happened for you.
Well, when I first confessed my affairs that I was having in my first marriage to my pastor, I was at a place where I thought everything was my husband's fault. If he would change, I wouldn't be in this mess. If he would change, I could be happy. And so I was oblivious to my own issues. And my pastor, you know, when I confessed in an individual...
Let me back up. Sure. So why did you feel it necessary to confess this to your pastor? Probably one of the most embarrassing, one of the most self-revealing things that you could say that nobody really probably maybe knew about. Why did you feel the need to share it with your pastor?
Carlette, I don't have a clue. I do not know why. I guess I wanted him to fix my husband. Like, look at this problem I'm in. You know, this is how much, you know, I was pointing the finger. Like, my husband's drug addiction. My husband's, you know, failure to work and supply for his family. You know, if you just fix him, I wouldn't be in this mess. And I really expected him to have a good talking to my husband, not confront me about my issue. In my mind, I was still blinded, Carlette, to the fact that I had any issues. I thought everything was his fault. So when he told me that I needed to confess, I was like a kid with my fingers in my ear. Like, that's not what I wanted to hear. Like, that's the worst advice I could have ever gotten. I never intended to tell.
And so how did you say to your pastor, you know, my husband is all this, but guess what? I've been having a relationship with somebody that's not my husband.
I really just had a lot of trust with him, and it was like talking to a friend, you know. I needed somebody to help me, and really at that point, Carlette, I wanted someone to fix my husband. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't really intend to stop having this affair, I don't think. I knew it was wrong. I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so incapable of surrendering my anger. I had so much anger and bitterness inside of me. And it's kind of like a volcano. It can sit dormant for a while.
Mm.
But then one day, bam, it just completely erupts. And that's what happened to me. I had meditated on, I need someone that will treat me better. I deserve someone mm-hmm. that will provide for me. I deserve somebody who will, you know, maintain sobriety and mm-hmm. honor his word. And when my husband didn't do those things, this anger just kept growing and growing, you know, and I had so much unforgiveness. I knew I was supposed to forgive. Everyone knows that, but I didn't have a clue how to forgive. And it wasn't until the accumulation of all these offenses erupted in me, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And so when I had my first affair, it wasn't something I planned, but an affair begins in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a mind affair begins in the mind. And it wasn't, you know, and the enemy will wait for an opportune time mm-hmm. to tempt us. He will not tempt us when we're strong. He waited until Jesus was alone.
That's right.
And hungry and isolated and tired in the desert. And then, bam, he zeroed in on him. Of course, Jesus, he didn't surrender to the attempts of the devil, but I did. The enemy waited until I was out of town on a bank exam. I was alone and isolated, and then he sent Mr. Handsome, just like on the Love Boat, you know, when mm-hmm. the lady goes to the bar and orders a cute little cocktail with the umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to me. I was out of town on a bank exam. I wandered into the hotel restaurant, the bar, not the restaurant. And, you know, that's what happened. And the next morning when I woke up after having this one-night stand, instead of being disgusted by my behavior, I looked in the mirror, of course, after I popped some Advil,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, put some eye drops in my eye. And I looked in the mirror, and instead of looking at myself in disgust, I smiled. Because for a moment in time, this affair was like an anesthesia that took away my anger. I didn't realize how temporary it was, but it was my fix. I felt free for like the first time. This anger, I didn't feel the anger anymore. And I didn't realize how temporary it was that I was going to need another affair to indulge my flesh again and cover that hurt and that pain and the anger. And it was like an anesthesia for me, Carlette. It was intoxicating, and it wasn't until I eventually got found out, because my pastor didn't tell my husband, and I didn't tell my husband. But one day, my husband went in for an individual counseling session, and he began having some suspicions, and he asked Pastor Dan, "Is Christy having an affair?" And Pastor Dan just sat there in silence. He didn't defend me. He didn't say, mm-hmm. "Oh, no, you're imagining things." He didn't say, "Oh, Bob, no, Christy would never do that." He just sat there and stared at him. And that's when, you know, silence can scream.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband came home and confronted me, and that was like the worst day of my life, when I felt like I had nothing else that would take away this pain and anger. And in actuality, that was the day I did a face plant. That was the day that I realized how desperately I could not handle this on my own, and I needed Christ. But it wasn't until I fell flat on my face and got to the end of myself that I was willing to look up. Until I had exhausted everything in my own power, that's when I was finally willing to look and say, "God, help me."
Wow. And so at that moment, do you then say to your husband, "Yes, I have been having an affair"?
Yes, I confessed when he came home and confronted me. I couldn't deny it. And that's when all HE226 broke loose. Things got really horrible. But that's when I started my recovery out of what I call relationship addiction. I knew some women in the church, and I knew some women in Al-Anon that I desperately reached out to them and they began mentoring me. And if it wasn't for this handful of women that would empower me and tell me the truth,
right?
Not tell me, oh, you know, you deserve better. They would make me look, every time I complained about what my husband was doing, they'd draw it back on me. Christy, you cannot change anyone else. All you can do is change yourself. How can you react to this situation? How can you respond? And they began teaching me how to guard my heart. I mean, the world calls it boundaries, but the Bible calls it guard your heart above all else, because that's where the issues of life come out. And I had never known how to guard my heart. I had let people trample all over me, and so as a result, I was always wounded. And then they began showing me how to focus on my mind on Christ and renew my mind. We have to renew our mind daily. You and I were talking about that a little while ago, that, you know, there's so many Christians, me included at this time, we know the Word of God, we can quote scriptures, we go to Bible study, but our spiritual life is intact, but our soul is a wreck. And the Bible mentions the word spirit in 456 times, and the word soul 432 times. So clearly God's interested in our soul health, in our mind, our will, and emotions. And just because we know the Word of God, if we've never learned how to apply it in the soul realm, it's not going to benefit our soul. We're going to be the walking wounded. We may be able to quote scriptures, but our soul is a wreck.
And that's where it ends right there, quoting scriptures and not making them applicable to your life. And I want to ask you this, because we've had all sorts of conversations with those thought leaders in the Christian community, like Bishop Jakes and even his daughter, Sarah Jakes. And one of the things that we have been talking about is the church open enough? And how did you find that place of openness that you could trust those women to say to them, this is what I'm doing. I'm married, but I'm having relationships with other men.
Well, I didn't tell anybody in the midst of that before I had confessed. Nobody knew except for my pastor. There was one other girl that knew what was going on, but she was kind of in the same situation. But she did give me a scripture that said, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. And I was like, Vicki, I didn't want to hear that, you know. And I tried to squelch it, but I couldn't get rid of that voice inside that, I began being really, really convicted. You know, the conviction is there, but when you take one foot into sin, then the next step gets a whole lot easier, Carla. It's like, you know, pretty soon you're taking a walk, and so I began to ignore the voice of the Holy Ghost and ignore, my need to repent before I had confessed. But after I had confessed, it was kind of easy to find women to talk to, honestly, because there was nowhere, I couldn't go any further down. I mean, I was exposed. There was no need to hide anymore because everything was out in the open. But, I was desperate for change. And I'd failed miserably at trying to change my husband, because that's where all my efforts were concentrated in the first couple of years of our marriage. I gravitated towards fixer-uppers, men that needed some help, and I can fix them because I fell in love with the potential.
Did you feel that you were being used by men at any point, or did you feel like you were using them?
I felt used, really. I never, because I got rejected so much, most of the time before I got married, my relationships didn't last very long, or I settled for men that were less than what I wanted, and I was always looking for someone better while I was in that relationship. So the ones that I really wanted, they didn't stick around. And this is my theory on that. Psychologists say that we gravitate towards people that share our same IQ. Like, for example, within a 10-point spread of our own IQ, those are the people that we tend to be most comfortable with because we're on the same level of intellect. And if we could measure our soul health, I believe that we also gravitate towards people within a 10-point spread of our own soul IQ, because that's why you see people that are unhealthy. They're attracted to unhealthy people. It's because I think we are equally yoked in relationships. And so I would gravitate towards men that were not healthy in their soul either. So they would be emotionally abusive or, you know, so then when I got someone that was above my soul health, once they figured out that I didn't have anything going on, that, you know, I may have looked good on the outside, mm-hmm. but, you know, then they would break up with me. Or, so I always felt rejected. Wow. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Let's do this, Christy. Let's get a break. But this is the
sure.
question that I want our listeners to ponder. Are you addicted to love? And
okay.
have you settled for an unhealthy relationship, even though you knew better? And do you hop from one unhealthy relationship to another? Now, if the answer is yes, you might be a love junkie. Stay on point, everybody. We're back right after this.
When somebody says your name, in my stomach there's a pain. See you walk in my direction, I go the other way. I start to stutter when I speak. Try to stand, but my knees go weak. What's happening to me? In the dark, can you tell me what it means? I lay my head on my pillow, staring out the window, wishing the star for a sign. I get nervous when you call, so I say I'm not home. I see your face and I hear my favorite song. Should I send an email at home? You're the number one topic on the phone. I wonder if you know, or do you have a clue? Yeah. I lay my head on my pillow. You got me staring out the window. We're showing a star for a sign. What's the reason?
To On Point Talk with Carlette Christmas,
the bigger show, and
the official OPT Network. Our goal is to encourage, uplift, and enlighten you, one conversation at a time.
Part of the minimally invasive image-guided specialist healthcare vision is to make sure our patients receive the best service possible. MIGS doctors are dedicated to performing interventional radiology procedures, concentrating on a patient-centered service that focuses on performing procedures in the shortest amount of time possible. Interventional radiology is a selection of advanced techniques that use imaging equipment to treat a variety of illnesses. Interventional radiologists are physicians who specialize in these minimally invasive, targeted treatments. Minimally invasive image-guided specialist, MIGS, is at 3704 North Boulevard, Alexandria. Call 318-445-9700.
MIGS is another proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
Minimally invasive image-guided specialist MIGS treat varicose veins that affect 1 out of 2 people age 50 and older and nearly 25% of all adults. Varicose veins are uncomfortable and unattractive. Symptoms include nighttime leg pain, skin discoloration, skin wounds, and irritation. These symptoms are most common in women ages 30 to 70, and treatments usually consist of a painful surgical procedure called vein stripping. MIGS patients can now take advantage of a new minimally invasive procedure that usually takes 30 to 45 minutes. Because it's minimally invasive and requires no large incisions, patients can usually be back at work the following day. For more information, contact MIGS at 445-9700. MIGS is a proud sponsor of the official OPT network.
I'm worried about Tim.
What's wrong?
He's out of work, we don't have health insurance, and he needs to go to the doctor, but it costs too much.
Christus Cabrini Hospital opened the Incarnate Word Community Clinic just across the street from the hospital.
Really?
Yeah, it has a primary care and a specialty clinic, too. Mary went and got great care. She doesn't have insurance either.
I'm calling right now.
Incarnate Word Community Clinic on Masonic Drive. Uninsured patients and those covered by Medicaid or Medicare welcome. Call 448-6800 for an appointment.
Cabrini Hospital is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
Sylvia's Caring Companion serves 15 parishes throughout Central and South Louisiana, providing the best direct care 24 hours per day, 7 days per week, to individuals who are physically, mentally, and functionally impaired. Our services include eating, bathing, dressing, grooming, transferring, walking, and all of your other activities of daily living. Sylvia's Caring Companions promotes the highest quality of life possible, whether it's in the client's home or in a community environment. Sylvia's Caring Companions. People care by caring people.
Sylvia's is owned by CEO Darlene St. Romain. For more information, phone 318-346-2540.
Sylvia's is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
I have a name. It's not occupant.
Or 38.
9.
I'm a person, not a number.
And sometimes
I need to talk to someone who's listening to me.
There are 24 hours in my day. I want a company
to be there when I need them.
At State Farm, we get to know you and know how you want to be treated. Like a real person with real concerns.
Finally. My kind of insurance company.
Your on-point good neighbor State Farm agent in Alexandria is Rosa Fields, 318-487-1881 or 4304 South MacArthur Drive. Your on-point good neighbor State Farm agent in Avoyelles Parish is Kyle Wolf, 318-346-6695 or 1109 Shirley Road in Bunkie. Wood Forest Bank is a community bank built upon the needs of the customers they serve. Wood Forest Bank is committed to earning customer loyalty by offering the highest level of customer service, as well as competitive products and services, by employees who are fair, responsive, and professional. Wood Forest Bank, another proud underwriting sponsor for On Point Talk, the official OPT Network. Welcome back, everybody, to the OPT Network. This segment has been brought to you by Magnolia State Mortgage. It's where dreams come true. Also, Walker Automotive Group, when others won't. Walker will, serving Central Louisiana since 1919, Southern Heritage Bank, and Davis One Stop. If you were just joining this conversation, I told you guys, you just strap on and get ready. And this is about the authenticity of oneself. We're joined by Christy Johnson. Not only is she an author, she is an ordained minister, a soul health advocate, and a certified life coach. Her book is called Love Junkies, 7 Steps for Breaking the Toxic Relationship Cycle. And we posed some questions. I posed some questions to you before we went to break. And we're telling Christy's incredible, incredible story. And Christy, something happened that really, really, it led you on the journey of becoming whole and understanding that you had soul sickness. First of all, for those people who have never really heard the concept, the idea, the word soul sickness, what does that mean? Or what did it mean for you?
Well, Carla, our soul is our mind, our will, and emotions. And I think so many of us in the church, we've fallen for this lie that we're supposed to be, you know, spiritually strong. And so we learn Bible passages, and we go to Bible study, and we do our prayer time, but we neglect our soul. But that's, you know, we're triune beings. That's a whole other part of us that if we neglect, we may know the word, but our soul is a wreck, our mind, our will, and emotions. You know, when the issues of life come, we know the scripture, but we don't know how to actually apply it to our lives. And so, I mean, that's certainly the situation I found myself in. I long to please God. I had a relationship with Jesus, but I didn't know how to endure adversity and count it all joy. I didn't know how to go through the issues of life. And so, you know, I didn't know how to forgive. And so it led to all this bitterness creeping in my soul. And it wasn't until I found myself in the ER, so to speak, that I was finally willing to get some help, because prior to that, any time an issue caused anger or disappointment in me, I tried to cover it up. And usually the way I tried to fix it and heal my soul was through a relationship. Even after I got married, you know, I gravitated to extramarital affairs to heal that hole in my soul.
Mm. And so were you ever worried about, because, you know, we talked about during one of the breaks or before we started the show, we talked about what people say about women who engage in infidelity. You know, a man can do it. Yeah, it's wrong. It goes against the word. But boy, when a woman does it, we are called some really, really horrible things. Did you have to deal with that?
Are you talking about before I had while I was having my kids, mm-hmm. or after?
Before, during, and after.
Okay. Well, of course, while I was, you know, in the middle of it, oh, I hid it very well. I looked good on the outside. No one would ever suspect that I was the one that was engaging in this kind of stuff, because I wasn't the promiscuous type. I traded sex for approval and affection.
Mm.
It was a trade-off. I didn't go out saying, you know, it wasn't a sexual addiction at all. It was an emotional vacuum that I needed to have filled. So, yeah, I hit it when I was in the middle of it. But after, you know, I fell flat on my face, and we talked about that earlier, and my affairs were discovered, and I began my own healing journey. And I had an encounter with Christ, who, like the woman at the well,
mm-hmm.
you know, he told her everything she had ever done. The whole town knew everything she had ever done. But the shame was gone because he saw something in her, and he accepted her just as she was, broken and all, because he saw that, you know, you can choose to leave this. And when she knew that somebody approved of her and she knew that somebody loved her, it no longer mattered to her what everyone else thought. The same woman that was ashamed and went to the well at noon because she knew she wouldn't see anybody there, the hottest part of the day, no one went to the well then, the same woman who was so ashamed ran back to town to tell all these people, come meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. And they're thinking, girlfriend, we already know what you've done. But she became a credible witness to those people who used to despise her because the shame was gone. She was no longer that adulterous woman. Now she was made new in Christ. And when that shame is gone, Carlette, you become a credible witness. It doesn't matter what people think anymore because, so yeah, I used to hide it, but once I met Christ at the well and the shame was erased, it no longer mattered because now I have the approval of the only one that matters.
Wow. And this is what you wrote in the book. You wrote, there's power in the spoken truth. Because the word declared out loud creates life.
Yes. So no longer do I declare things that aren't in alignment with the word. Like so many of us, we say bad things about ourselves that we would never say about somebody else. But we think it's okay to criticize ourselves. Well, if we do that, we're criticizing the spirit of God inside of us. So I've learned to align my words and my thoughts with what the Word of God says about me.
And so talk about losing your son, Jake, at 3 years old. Talk about how that changed your life.
Well, you know, years ago when my life was a love junkie mess, I had this tiny vision that the Lord gave me in the midst of my mess. And I think he does that with a lot of us. You know, we think I just had this vision where I was ministering to the multitude of women, and I laughed when I mean, it was like a 10-second little vision, but when God speaks to you, you just know. You can't explain it. Your friends may think, woohoo, she's crazy, but you just know it's God. But I hid it for the longest time because I thought, God couldn't use me. I'm a mess. I can't speak to two people at once, let alone the multitude. You know, I was so insecure. But as God began restoring my life, and it was an eight-year journey after my affairs were disclosed in my marriage where the Lord really did a lot of healing work inside my marriage until, you know, the day it finally, you know, our marriage did dissolve after 10 years. But all the adversity that I endured within the marriage, the emotional abuse, the verbal abuse, the drug addiction, the death threats, you know, God was training me. You know, adversity trains us. It builds our character. It builds our perseverance. And then the end result of adversity, according to Romans, is that it gives us the hope that doesn't disappoint. Mm-hmm. And yet we want the hope first, and then we'll say, oh, then I can persevere, and mm-hmm. then I'll build my character, and then I can endure adversity and rejoice. You know, we want it backwards, but that God's ways are so different. So all this adversity in the 8 years when I was married, I was married 10 years, but the adversity and the healing and recovery was an eight-year journey inside my marriage, and it was training me for the day that I lost my son. It was kind of like I didn't know how to forgive, but God uses offenses to teach us forgiveness. I mean, really, we'd never have to forgive if we never suffered an offense.
Right.
And I used to be the most bitter, angry woman, but God was showing me how to walk in forgiveness. And a few years after we were divorced, my ex-husband had our boys on the weekend of my 20th high school reunion and was driving under the influence of several drugs, hit another car head-on. Our 5-year-old spent 5 days in children's hospital, and our 2-year-old died at the scene. And when I got the news, you know, of course, my reaction, I mean, a box of Kleenex wasn't enough. I grabbed a towel, and I was just sobbing all the way to the hospital. But something that completely doesn't make any sense. This peace began to rest on me in the midst of that adversity. But, Carlette, I'd been trained by it. Mm. I had been trained in how to endure hardship with joy. I had been trained in how to trust God in the middle of chaos. And again, I was like, the peace that passes all understanding, you can't even explain how it could possibly make any sense that you would experience peace in that kind of time. I knew that if I didn't forgive my ex-husband, that I would, you know, recovery is a long journey.
Mm-hmm.
Relapse is instant. If I didn't forgive, I knew I would go straight back to being this angry, bitter woman that I used to be. And so as I chose to forgive, people were coming to the hospital encouraging me, and I was encouraging them. It didn't make any sense. And then the day after Jake died, I woke up in the hospital with my 5-year-old where I'd spent the night with him. And when I woke up, the presence of God just filled Garrett's hospital room. And it was as if the Lord was showing me. He didn't talk to me. I didn't hear anything, but mm-hmm. I just knew. Because his spirit testifies with our spirit. I just knew that this joy was so much more than I could contain by myself. But the only way I could keep it was to give it away.
Wow.
In that moment, I felt like the Lord showed me that vision that he had given me like 20 years earlier of me ministering to women. And he was like, Christy, you know, Jake's life, his destiny is going to live on in you. And so today he's passing you the baton, and you go minister. You go give this joy out. You go pour out into other women. You know, relationship addiction and unhealthy soul, it's an epidemic in our culture because mm-hmm. we have women growing up without a father in the home. We have women that are getting all their relationship cues from Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
They think romance happens in 2 days like it does in Hollywood, and you're in bed the next day. And,
right.
And we don't have it. Even in the church, the divorce statistics are not any different than they are in the world. And so our church has been invaded by these unhealthy habits that we don't even recognize anymore because it's so common. And so it just became incredibly clear to me that that joy, as long as I give it out, I've been completely empowered. My first speaking engagement was at Jake's funeral.
Wow.
I shared the hope.
Mm.
It was powerful, and it's never left me. It's I'm compelled to reach the multitude.
Wow. And so talk about forgiveness when it came to the children's dad.
I believe everything that happens to us in life is first sifted through the hand of God. And if we endure a situation, His grace promises to be sufficient.
Mm.
It's like manna. We don't get the grace until the day we need it. God rained down manna every day for the Israelites, but He told them, don't store up.
That's right.
Because it's going to get filled with maggots. And it's like we cannot store up enough grace for a future event because God, we have to take it the day we get it. But God promises to provide it, but sometimes we just say, oh, no, you know, like when someone gives you a really nice gift, a lot of people say, oh, no, you shouldn't have. I can't take that. Well, when God gave me the gift of His grace and His joy that day, I took it because I'm like, there's no way I can live. There's no way I can survive without His grace. But He promises that His grace is sufficient. But, you know, I have so many women that come to me and say, oh, I could never do that. Mm-hmm. Well, you're right, because God hadn't given you the grace for that. But if you do endure that someday, you can rest assured His grace will be there because His grace is always sufficient.
Absolutely. Christy, it is an incredible book and is so much deeper than what we were even able to share here today. But the book is called Love Junkies, 7 Steps for Breaking Toxic Relationship Cycles. And it is a book that every woman that is going through that, every woman on the planet needs to read it, because I believe that there is a degree of soul sickness in each and every one of us. And you will not ever be able to confront it. You will never be able to conquer it until you confront it. Christy, I want you to tell people how they can connect with you, how they can connect with the resources, and how they can get the book.
Well, thank you, Carlette. The book is available on Amazon and at independent Christian retailers around the country. They can also check out my website, which is christyjohnson.org, and I spell my name like Christ with a Y, so Christy Johnson.org. I do have a lot of resources on my website also. For women that may want to lead a Love Junkie group, that have a heart to minister to other women, there's a free leader's guide online that they can download and start a small group, because the book really lends itself towards a small group setting with questions to ponder and action points that women can employ. There's also some quizzes on my website to help women identify the areas that they may be weak in regards to the 7 habits, the 7 steps. And then I also, if people go to my website and they sign up for my newsletter, I have a free mini ebook that I'll send them called How to Forgive When Life Hurts.
Mm.
I think unforgiveness is really the root of a lot of addiction, because whether it's anger towards ourselves, God, or somebody else. So, those are some of the resources available on my website. And the book's available on Amazon is probably the easiest way to get it. And if they're Christian bookstore doesn't have it, they should be able to order it.
Christy, I want to thank you so much on behalf of the OPT Network. And I said this in the beginning, I'm going to say it again. It took a lot of courage. It took a lot of chutzpah to put some of the things that you put in the book. And it will open up each and every person, I believe, to their own self, to their own authentic self. And you know what?